she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, good morning. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with your host, David Blessingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Hey, hey, hey.
JP, a.k.a. Snuggles.
Mm-hmm.
And me, Sybil. Apologies for my James Earl Jones voice this morning. I'm a little under the weather.
Luke.
This show is going to cost you $9.99 a minute to listen to it. You can give us a call, 877-881-1053, or send us your Autoflex Leasing fan text at 43733. And as always, you can and should call Autoflex, and it does not, in fact, cost you money to call.
No, it doesn't. In fact, it can save you money if you give us a call today at either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. As always, autoflex.com, where you can go build any car you might be thinking of right there at autoflex.com and send us that information. We'll be glad to find the exact car for you. Or you can see all of our great pre-owned cars, same location. Look under used cars.
Mm-hmm. Coming up at 9:15, we are going to talk to best-selling author Sean V. Bradley. But first, let's talk a little bit about how all these auto recalls work. It seems like every week there's somebody else announcing their recalls.
You know, and I thought it might be a good idea to explain to our listeners how a recall actually works. Mm-hmm. Because you see the results and you hear about it on the news and you have lawsuits. But how does it really work? Well, first of all, the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration has an Office of Defects Investigation, and it's called ODI, by golly, or the OD, I guess, in the business. And so if you have a car that you believe has a problem that was inherent in the vehicle caused by the manufacturer, you can contact the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration's Office of Defective Investigation, and you can do that on their website, or you can call, I love this phone number, 888-2-DOT. And you're spelling out the words dash and dot. If you want to see how it works or click directly on it, you can go to Autoflex Leasing's Facebook page, and that's where the story is, and you can click on the link there. Anyway, the very first thing that happens is a lot of people have to complain about something. And
yes.
The reason it's got to be a lot of people is we're talking about literally thousands and thousands of cars. If it's a one-off, it's a little problem one time, that's one thing. If everybody that bought that particular car has the same problem, it's something else. So the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration, the first thing they do is what's called a preliminary investigation. It's easy for me to say. Preliminary investigation. And that's when they look at a complaint, a common complaint that has a number of consumers that have made that single complaint. And they start investigating at that point. If they can get enough evidence that they realize they need to move forward, they go into the engineering analysis, and that's the second portion of it. And that's where they start taking cars and looking at them and determining for sure that it is a manufacturer's defect and it's not mechanically related. Now it could be software. In fact, that's what some of the recalls come from. After that, if there is enough evidence to justify a recall, there's a recall. And what does that mean? That means all the cars come home to be fixed. You'll get a notification from the manufacturer. You'll see it on the evening news. You'll get instructions, if you want to, from the manufacturer's website or the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration's website. You can simply put in your VIN number, and it will tell you if there are any recalls on your vehicle or if your vehicle is involved in a particular recall. And then finally, the notification area comes, and that's when they broadcast all over the place, hey, this car's got a problem. You can bring in your car. A couple of things to note. One, anything past 8 years of age is not eligible for recall. Now, if you have a recall on your car, it lasts forever. But if there's been no recalls in 8 years on that particular model, there won't be a recall because after it's 8 years old, they consider it to be ineligible. They think they should have seen the problem by then. So anyway, notification happens. You'll get an official notification, and then you take your car in for repair. A couple of other things. You should not be charged for repairs like this because it's not your fault. It's the manufacturer's fault, and they actually bear the entire cost of the repair. Now, oftentimes, they're not going to give you a car to drive, so you're going to have to arrange to get your car into the shop and live without it while they're doing the repairs. But here's the thing. If it's a safety defect, get it fixed and get it fixed quickly. It's important.
So what's the phone number for complaints again? 888-2-DOT?
Yeah, it's 888-DASH, the number 2, and then D-O-T.
Why?
Well,
like Morse code?
It is like Morse code, yeah.
But is that the joke?
Yes.
Ah. Yeah.
Well, you can also go to recalls.gov, an online resource for recalls. You can even subscribe to the NHTSA's recall notification email system. So you could be the first to know about every recall, even if you don't have that car.
When will there be an app? That's all. When will there be an app for that?
That is a job I would not want. Answering that phone line with people calling every day just going, my car's making a weird sound.
Autoflex Leasing Fantext. Good morning, folks. Here we go. Autoflex Leasing Fantext. How old can a car be to still be in a lease? Would a two-year-old E-Class with 20,000 miles qualify for a 24 to 30-month lease? Yes. Leases go back right now. They'll go back about 3 years for us. So 3 calendar years. So we can lease everything from 2013, 14, and 15.
And let me mention, we'll look at the difference between the pre-owned lease versus a flex buy to see which one makes more sense to you. I was having dinner with one of my neighbors the other night, and she said, well, what kind of car would you suggest for me? And I said, well, first we need to do an interview. Really? I said, I need to talk to you about what's important to you. What are your concerns? What are your goals? What are you trying to accomplish? How much do you drive? How often do you want to trade cars? What are you looking for as far as the comfort and, you know, safety features? And she said, oh, okay, well, I'll just have to call you then, because we were with a whole bunch of people at the time. And then one of my old clients called yesterday and said that she had a friend who was interested in leasing. She is retiring, and they're hearing more and more that people who are retired should lease. So she wanted to look into that. She said, well, you need to call my good friend Tammy, because she will tell you exactly what you need to know, the ins, the outs, the good, the bad. And that's what we really do. We'll interview you, figure out which financial program makes sense for you, because cars are not a good investment. They depreciate. It's not like a house. Put your money in a house where we hope, you know, that'll go up in value. But the car is a piece of equipment that we use up, isn't it, David?
Absolutely. They depreciate because they get used and they get old. Sort of like people.
Hey, so, I'm not getting older. I'm getting better.
Sure you are. All right. That came over wrong. I'm sorry. I meant, sure you are. Yeah. Okay. General Motors has done two things in the past week. One, they spent $500 million. They gave it to Lyft Incorporated, which is one of the ride-sharing services. They gave them $500 million, and they bought a ride-hailing company called Sidecar Technologies, and they're putting both of those together, and they're launching something called Maven. And Maven is a car sharing service. It's going to be offered in Ann Arbor, Michigan, only in Ann Arbor, Michigan. They are putting out cars all over the city, and there's an app. You can put an app on your phone, and if you need a car, it'll show you where the closest one is. When you get to the car, there's a credit card inside in case you need gas. I'm not sure how well that's going to work long term.
I'm
just thinking. But the reason they picked Ann Arbor is because it is the home of the University of Michigan, and it's got a gigantic campus that's really hard to get around on. And some of these cars are like Chevy Sparks. You can rent one for $6 an hour. So insurance is included. Everything's included. If you wanted a Tahoe, it'd be $12 an hour or $84 a day. But instead of owning a car, you simply hail or go to one of these cars, and you use it for whatever errands you want to run, and then you park it, and somebody else uses it. Now, the average car in the United States sits idle about 95% of the time. I mean, car's sitting idle right now. Mm-hmm. So is yours, Sib.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
Snuggles' car is sitting idle. Everybody's car is sitting idle right now, right?
Yep.
Well, the idea with this is these cars don't sit idle. Someone uses them all the time, but it's shared expense. So it only costs you a little bit to use a car. You don't have to go out and buy a car, which average retail price on a car right now is over $30,000.
Well, they're kind of layering over that Rent My Ride, or what was that other one that they were doing locally where you could rent your car out for $10 a day or $10 for a couple of hours?
That didn't work, though, because people use those cars to, like, rob 7-Elevens and stuff.
Well, what are they going to do?
So that's the truth.
Well, who is actually... Oh, who owns the car in this situation? The
General Motors.
Company? Oh, okay.
Yeah, Maven owns it. The company called Maven that they own those cars.
It's what happens
so weird
if somebody wrecks it?
Well, and because you've got insurance, and I assume you have a deductible, but I'm not sure. Here's the thing. Everyone's looking at different ways to sell cars. General Motors loves to sell cars. That's how they make money. They see ride sharing as a possible threat to the number of vehicles they sell, because if a lot of people don't have to buy a car, if they only have a car when they need it, they use it, then that hurts their numbers. This way, they're sort of getting on the front of the movement towards shared vehicle usage, and they're going to see if it works or not. Ann Arbor's a good place to start. It's a fairly controlled environment. It is a huge campus up there, and they'll find out if people will pay $6 an hour to use a Chevy Spark.
What about our AutoFlex Leasing fan texters? Would you guys like to ride share? Would you rather not own your own car? Would you like to be able to have access to one whenever you needed it? And I mean, to me, it needs to be in my garage.
Yeah.
When I need it.
I was going to say, I love the idea of it, but if I go downstairs right now to leave and I don't have a car waiting for me, then I'm very impatient. Like that, where do you go? You just have to walk to the next block to find one?
I guess. You know, but here's the thing. The alternative is owning a car. And so there's expense to that. And this is for people that don't want to go to that expense. But that's an excellent question, Tammy. Would you ride share?
Heck no, I wouldn't.
Our AutoFlex Leasing fan texters, would you ride share? Would you give up ownership of your car so you could use a car ever so often? The closest analogy I can see to this is when you need a pickup and you don't have one.
Yeah.
Then it's okay.
Right.
Then somebody will go out and rent one, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Would you do ride sharing, Dave?
I would not.
No.
No.
Because we drive, I think, too far. In DFW, everything's so spread out. And you have too many places where you have to go where there's like parking and all that.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all. The other thing is like at a college campus like UMichigan up there, that is a really, even though it's a spread out campus, it's a pretty tight area. And that's where the majority of these cars are going to be located for people to use to move either around campus or to move downtown from campus or back out, that kind of thing.
Plus, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask Snuggles if he would ride share.
Well, what about the incidentals or emergencies? You know, I think sometimes you use your car even more than you know, just going to the store real quick to get something. I mean,
yes.
And that to me is where the burden would come in. You know, what do you do in those situations?
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
You have to be a big time planner.
Yeah.
Yep.
Real organized.
No spontaneity in your life.
Life doesn't work like that, Tammy.
It's not. I'm saying you would just have to make that work. But, you know, you make it work if you have to, I suppose. I've become such a germaphobe in my older age.
Mm.
I like to take all my Lysol wipes to a new hotel and wipe everything. When I get on a plane, I've got my little things that I'm wiping down my little space with. And yes, that's me. So I can't imagine getting in some car where I don't know.
Yes, who's
what all's on that steering wheel?
Sneezing all over it.
Well, you know, and this goes back to the Uber thing and the self-driving cars. And I did hear one thing that I'd never thought about. You've got a self-driving car. You got no driver in it, right? So it picks up a fare and drops them off, and picks up another one and drops them off, and everything's great until one of them comes out of the bar and gets sick in the back seat. The self-driving car does not know that's happening.
That's so true. Yeah.
So then the next person that gets the car, it's not happy. Not happy at all.
And what about this kind of a thing? It could be the same deal. You know, how would you know somebody wouldn't be under the influence while driving your rideshare car?
Yeah.
So the answers to our questions are rolling in on the AutoFlex Leasing fan text. Our auto culture probably won't support mass adoption. Well, there you go.
They have a system like this with smart cars in Austin.
No rideshare. My truck is personal.
Yeah, right?
Not in Texas. No people would keep it clean, to Tammy's point.
Yes, so true. And then this guy says this is a precursor to AV car sharing. What does that mean, AV? AV car sharing. You'll find a car, enter your destination, and then the car will drive you to your location. After you're dropped off, it drives to the next program parking spot and waits for its next passenger.
Automated vehicle.
Oh.
Automated vehicle. Autonomous vehicle. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Ding, yeah, ding, yeah, yeah. Ding. Where's my bell?
They do have a smart car thing like this in Austin. I don't know how that's working, by the way. If anyone knows how the smart car thing in Austin is working.
Well, like the person that texted in, the AutoFlex Leasing fan texter, have you done it? Have you used it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like using them for events like proms, parties, if higher-end cars, dates, might be useful then. Or, AutoFlex Leasing fan texter, no, I would not ride share. I'm like a child. I don't like sharing.
Amen. And then this guy says, no way. Who wants to smell stranger's morning breath in your car?
Ooh.
Good point, sir.
Yeah.
Ooh, if it's still hanging around in there from the previous passenger, that's rank.
That is so gross. It's like, yeah, I won't even get into it. We got to take a quick break. We've got Sean V. Bradley coming up next on the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing. AutoFlex Leasing, oh yeah.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing, with your host David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Snuggles, and me, Sybil. Phone number 877-881-1053, or send us your AutoFlex Leasing fan text at 43733. And if you're out looking for a new car today, call AutoFlex. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. As always, AutoFlex.com, where you can actually go online and get a free Black Book appraisal on your car right there from your friends at AutoFlex. By the way, it is very cold outside today, folks. If you do not want to be out walking the lots, you don't have to look at a new car. Give us a call. Tell us what you want to drive. We'll arrange to have it brought to AutoFlex for you. You can run in. You can drive it. If you want to drive two or three different cars, give us a little lead time. We'll line them up side by side. You can come in, drive them all at one time in one place, and make a really good decision.
Mm-hmm. All right. We've got a guest on the phone. And David, you line this up, so why don't you intro?
Okay. We have Sean V. Bradley with us. Sean is the CEO of Dealer Synergy. He's an entrepreneur. He's a member of the National Speakers Association, has a CSP. He's also a certified Franklin Covey trainer. He's an author, and he's a digital marketing expert. So he's sort of all of those things. And he's actually written a bestseller book called Googleopoly, and it's how to beat Google if you're out there in the business world trying to figure out how to get your name to the top of a Google search. Hey, Sean?
Yes, sir. How
hey,
you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
So you've written a great book on Google, which no one has thought about, I guess, beside you, and you researched this book. So tell us a little bit about Googleopoly, how it came about, and how people are responding to it.
Yes. The official title is Win the Game of Googleopoly. The whole concept is kind of like in Monopoly. You can't win the game of Monopoly with just Boardwalk. You know, you have to have multiple properties. The more properties you have, the more chances that people obviously will land on you and pay you rent, and the quicker that you could win the game of Monopoly. Same thing with Google. A lot of people have the misconception that you could turn around and basically just have one website and then you could magically dominate Google. There's millions and millions of pages and billions of pieces of content that are online. So the concept of the book is kind of like Monopoly. You want to have more than one thing on the first page of Google. So for example, if you have a website, that's great. However, you want to be able to have pictures, images from, let's say, Instagram, Pinterest, etc., that index. You want to have videos that index. You want to have press releases, your social media. Now, try to imagine if you think of Google like a Monopoly board, okay? You can't, normal people don't realize that only about 5% of people go past the first page. If you're not on the first page of Google, you're utterly invisible. Mm-hmm. And the PPC, the pay-per-click links on the top, only 6% of people click it. So the holy grail, what people really want to dominate, is the top 10 listings on Google. So the more that you show up, the less your competition shows up, the less your anybody that sells leads, like in the automotive industry, like an Auto Trader or Cars.com. If you are, you know, a restaurant, the more that your food menus will show up. So again, in my opinion, what you want to be able to do is try to have as much content that indexes on the first page of Google, dominate the first page of Google. That's what I mean by winning the game of Googleopoly.
Gotcha. So how would what does the book say that someone should do in order to do that?
You know, what I try to do is, again, I've been doing internet sales and digital marketing for almost 20 years now. So the challenge was to write the book so anybody could use it. It wasn't for car people. It wasn't for rent, you know, restaurant owners or martial arts schools. It's literally for anybody that wants visibility to sell a product or a service. So the first couple chapters, I kind of go into just the explanation on how Google works and what Google prefers and why. Then in chapter 3, I kind of lay out my Googleopoly strategy. You mentioned in the intro that I'm a Franklin Covey trainer, so some of the things I'm going to say is influenced, obviously, from the book, The 7 Habits of High Effective People. Dr. Covey says in the third habit, put first things first. In other words, be careful of distractions disguised as opportunities. So what I want to be able to do is figure out what's the most important thing. Well, your most important thing is obviously your website. So if you want to really dominate Google, you want to turn around and make sure that you have a viable website that indexes well. And in the chapter 4 of the book, I break down all the elements that Google looks for, besides just the keywords and the meta tags. I kind of do step-by-step, almost like a checklist of everything you need to do. But readers don't have to be intimidated, because if you're not savvy on meta tags and keywords and search engine optimization, it's okay, but at least you'll have a checklist of what you want to hold your vendor or your webmaster accountable to do. So chapter 4, I talk about how to dominate, you know, Google through your website. Then what I want to be specific and talk about for a quick second is that a lot of people that are spending money on the pay-per-click ads, they've got to be careful. Too many times I see in all industries, the entertainment industry, professional sport industry, the music industry, and the automotive industry, and every industry, is that they spend too much money on pay-per-click. When Google themselves says only 6% of people click pay-per-click, it's almost like spending, I know Texas is great for steaks, right? So it's almost like spending $100 on steak sauce and literally $3 on the steak. It makes no sense.
Right.
Pay-per-click, what that's supposed to be is the accent, not the steak. So in the book, we go into making people understand where the relevance is. What I would say for your listeners, one of the biggest things that they could focus on is video. There's a company called Forrester Research. They track all this stuff. Forrester Research says that 1 minute of video is equivalent to 1.8 million written words. Video is growing so fast in its usage and in its dominance. But what Google likes, and this is the relevance point, Google says that video is by far the most important piece of content. What I mean by that is that a video that is optimized the right way will show up on the first page of Google almost instantaneously. It'll show up there within a couple days, whereas regular website content will take up to like 30 or 60 or 90 days to index.
There's a tremendous amount of salesmanship, let's put it nicely, in this business. So would you say the book is a fairly good thing for a business owner to read so that he can defend the massive amount of bad information that's out there and he can recognize it? I mean, is that one of the purposes, is to let people know what not to do?
Absolutely, 150%, because there's people, you know, David, we're business owners, and again, you know, you could either mow your lawn or have a landscaper. Me personally, I choose to have a landscaper. You know, I'm too busy, and, you know, I'm not good at it. So, again, the book has a dual purpose, and it's written exactly like that. It's not too techie. It's not using a lot of jargon. It's like common sense. It's written almost how someone would just talk to like an average person. So absolutely, and it's set up systematically in a way from a beginning to end. It doesn't jump around. It's like a beginning, middle, and end. So a business owner, entrepreneur, or even a manager of an organization would be able to read it. It could even be used as a reference guide.
Got it. Now, one of the other things I think is interesting is you've written this book, it's called Googleopoly, and it is a bestseller, which is really cool. But you don't deal with just one industry. You deal with the entertainment industry, with the automotive industry. What other industries do you work within currently in your company?
Well, me personally, I work in three industries. Automotive is my main industry. But we work in the music industry with major label recording artists. What's interesting is, you know, my wife, you met her. Her stage name is Karina Bradley. With the principles that we did in the Googleopoly book, we took an unknown recording artist within 3 years. She now has 60 million views. She's performed on, actually, CBS in Philadelphia, Talk Philly. She's performed on Sirius Satellite Radio in front of like 16 million people, 9 major music videos. She's been on FM radio with official BDS spins. So how do we do this without a major label? Well, again, labels, especially nowadays, they want an artist that has a platform. So we didn't need the money, so, you know what I mean, to get an advance from the label, so we decided to do it ourselves. So we basically built the platform and a brand. In 3 short years, we blew up a major recording artist in Philadelphia. So it was kind of exciting.
Exciting, but I guess the parallel is anyone could do this with their business if they do it the right way.
Yes. The next one is we have professional athletes. We consulted for a former, I'm not even mentioning because you guys are Dallas, but one of the Eagles in Philadelphia. And then we also consulted currently with active UFC fighters as well as martial arts schools. There's a martial arts school in Philadelphia, which is really huge, called Balance Studios. They are like the preeminent Brazilian jiu-jitsu martial art academy, and they are one of the best marketers. They have about 40 affiliate schools, and they use a lot of the practices that we have in Googleopoly. I actually referenced the martial arts school in the book. So we have professional sports. We've got major, you know, athletes. We've got major label recording artists, the music industry, the automotive industry, restaurants. I mean, it really doesn't matter, because if you think about it, this is what Google says. Over 80% of all transactions in the United States start on search. People find their husbands, their wives, their pets, their medication, their restaurants, their houses, their karate schools, and absolutely their automobiles online. So if you want visibility, if you want to be found, you got to realize Google is where it's at. And don't get distracted with Bing or Yahoo or MSN or
Ask. That's true. Yeah. Hey, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about something that you know a lot about. For what people don't know is Sean actually was a car salesman at one time and sold more cars than anyone that he worked with. We're going to talk a little bit about how to sell to skeptics. How to sell to people that are afraid when they go into a car dealership, and some of the things that people might use when they go into a car dealership to help them out and to help them through the negotiation. Is that okay with you, buddy?
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
All right.
While we're in the break, I highly recommend everybody Google Sean V. Bradley's wife, Karen, and Karina Bradley. That's her stage name, you said.
Yes,
she is gorgeous.
So, and very sweet.
That'll give you guys something to do. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Snuggles, and me, Sybil. Our phone number, 877-881-1053. Or send us your Autoflex Leasing fan texts at 43733. And if you're in the market for a new or certified pre-owned vehicle, best place to go in all of DFW's Autoflex Leasing. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, if you're out of the area. As always, autoflex.com. And by the way, you can go to Autoflex's Facebook page and like it, please. And you can read all of the stories, plus a lot more stories and some great videos right there. You can see them on the Autoflex Leasing's Facebook page. If you're thinking about a car this weekend, it's a great idea to give one of our offices a call. Tell us what you want to drive and let us do all the work for you. Don't spend the day going place to place to place and meeting a lot of people you never wanted to meet. Just give us a call. One guy does it all. It'll be great. Trust me.
Yes, indeed. So let's pick up where we left off with Sean V. Bradley. He's from DealerSynergy.com, best-selling author, and I mean, you've got tons of credits to your name. David listed them earlier, but Sean, thanks for hanging on the line for us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So one of the things you do, Sean, is you work with salespeople, all types of salespeople, but car salespeople included in that, and there are a lot of, there's a you and I talked about this when we were talking about the show. There's a lot of people that are afraid to deal with car salesmen. And that's a rough way of putting it, but they're very anticipatory. They don't like the experience. They don't trust the people they're doing business with or they're trying to do business with. What kind of advice could you give our listeners of the best way to approach going in and dealing with a car salesman?
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad to have that question, because this is something I'm passionate about right here, because I spent the vast majority of my professional life in car dealerships, 5.5 years on the front line selling cars, and people would come in a little bit hostile, a little bit on defense, and here's what I said to them, and I'm going to say it to your listeners. Folks, you have to go in just understanding that not everybody is a charlatan. I mean, there's good police. I'm going there, David. There's bad police. There's good priests. Oh, yeah, I'm going there, too. And bad priests, okay? There are bad car people, but there's a tremendous amount of automotive sales professionals out there. I'm talking about good people. They're, you know, again, for me, I was in the reserves. I wasn't active or anything like that, but I was in ROTC as a kid, you know, in college. You know, I I volunteered. I did a lot of stuff. I'm not a, you know, a shady person. But when people come in and they just think that everybody that that's a car salesman is like that stereotype from the 70s and 80s, that's not there anymore. There's so much regulation. I mean, with the internet, there's so much transparency with Google reviews, Yelp reviews. So I'd say the first advice is just ease back a little bit. And I understand the buying cycle. The regular, you know, regular Americans don't buy vehicles every, you know, year. Sometimes it's 3 to 5 years before the next vehicle, so they might have not had an experience in a long time. But now in 2016, it's not like the 80s or 90s any longer. I mean, there is so much professionalism and accountability in there. So that's the first thing I would say.
Hey, Sean, this is Tammy. How are you?
Yes, ma'am. Great.
Do you think that customers should possibly go online and read a dealer's reviews and find a specialist or a salesperson there that has a lot of good reviews?
Yes. If you think about it, that's not even should they do it. I believe that they're starting to do that now. That's what Google says, and I talk about this in my book, Win the Game of Googleopoly, is Google says the number one most influential thing for a buying decision is online reviews. So I highly suggest that a prospect or person looking to buy an automobile does go onto Google and look at what Google Reviews says, you know, because these are vetted reviews, and they basically will paint the picture of the type of organization that that dealership is. So yes, Tammy, I 100% agree with that.
What are some of the better review sites where they're valid reviews, not the kind that sometimes I know companies can put their own reviews out there?
Well,
how do you get away from Google
reviews? I would say Google Reviews is by far the number one for the public. Again, I'm going to tell your listeners that Yelp is a double-sided sword, you know, especially in the automotive industry. Again, Yelp is kind of picky. The reason because it's picky is that if somebody's not an active Yelper and they leave you a Yelp review, it might not go to the top. So I find that a lot of dealers get frustrated with Yelp because they have a bunch of, you know, positive reviews, but they don't show. They only filter, you know, one or two reviews. So I would say to your, you know, your listeners, the number one resource is probably, you know, Google Reviews or, believe it or not, YouTube. I mean, anybody could, you know, say anything in text, but for me, there's nothing better or more real than an actual customer, not an actor. You know, when dealers have video testimonials or video reviews of real people sharing real experiences, I mean, you can't get any better than that. So I think that Google Reviews and actual video testimonials. And you know what I would also say is this. If you're a car buyer, you're in the market to buy a vehicle, there's nothing wrong with asking the salesperson in the dealership for some references. I mean, think about that for a second. This is a different paradigm shift, but, you know, the clients that I work with, and I know that Autoflex does this as well, is that if you're good at what you do and you have nothing to hide, you'd be more than happy to send, with obviously, of course, the references, you know, permission, some names and phone numbers of people. And this is a large purchase. So this is the second largest purchase for the average American in their lifetime. So why don't you get some references? Why don't you take a couple minutes and do your due diligence? And you've got to be careful because this is a big purchase.
What about DealerRater? We have been using DealerRater quite a bit, asked our clients to go there to
DealerRater
rate us.
DealerRater is definitely very, very good. The only reason why I didn't mention them first is because it wasn't, you know, DealerRater is specific just to the automotive industry. I was just trying to keep it broad for there. But 100%.
Well, we're talking cars this morning,
yes,
Sean.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. So for cars, DealerRater is probably one of the most dominant. They were the first really preeminent online reputation. So I would say DealerRater is very, very good. They filter out all the reviews, and so they're validated. So a person that's looking to buy a car could definitely feel comfortable with the content that they see on DealerRater is absolutely being true.
Cool.
So how many? You mentioned that there were a lot of really good car salespeople out there. So.
Yes.
How many car dealers are there in the United States?
Okay, this is interesting. There's 17,500 franchise dealers, and there's an additional 40,000 independent dealerships. Not like Autoflex, but Autoflex is in the category because they're not a franchise. So you're talking about, you know, over, you know, 57,000, let's just call it 50-plus thousand automotive dealerships, close to 500,000 car salesmen out there.
So there have to be some good ones. They can't all be bad.
No, absolutely. You know, I mean, there's some amazing people that, and I got to tell you, I've had the privilege to meet some of the staff at Autoflex. I mean, one of the reasons that I really kind of was really impressed with the way that Autoflex does business is that you don't do business like a traditional, you know, dealership. Every one of your sales professionals are, these are managers. These are managers from other dealerships. So they're not like frontline people, or they're not like people that would likely make a mistake or what have you. You guys thoroughly vet your people. Unlike most dealerships I've met that are even franchise, even like Mercedes-Benz or BMW dealerships. And I told you that, David, sincerely, like I was really blown away by the caliber of your sales team.
I think, well, when you do what we do, Sean, you need to know a lot more about how to guide the client to the deal, because they call us. They don't necessarily know exactly the vehicle they want. They know that they want navigation or a backup camera or a sedan, and they have a budget, and they know how many miles they drive and how long they want to keep it, but they don't know which car is going to fit that the best, and we do. And when you are dealing with somebody's finances and you really want to help them make a good decision so they will come back to see you, that's our goal. You know, since we deal with all makes and models, it's not like they can change their mind and go from a Toyota to a Honda and so we never see them again. We can deal with the Honda. Therefore, if we do a really good job going in and help them make the right financial decision, or at least give them all of the options to select from, then they're more likely to come back and see us again, I think.
I agree 100%. I want to go back to what David's question was, you know, about people's perception. You know, that's why the automotive sales landscape has changed. I want to make this crystal clear. It is not like buying a car back in the day. I see dealerships like Autoflex that are engaging in communication the way that regular America is, meaning through Apple FaceTime, Skype, through text messaging. You don't have to go to the dealership and spend 5 hours on a Saturday and waste your time and not buy a car.
Right.
So many times I'm finding people are going online. They're doing the research. They're basically having their iPhone. If you're, you know, again, so somebody doesn't have to come in. They could have one of the sales reps actually go to the lot or go outside, show the vehicle in the showroom, send it quickly to the prospect. They love it. They make an appointment. They come in for final inspection. One of the other things I really enjoyed about the Autoflex, you know, learning about your process is that, and Kim, correct me if I'm wrong, your salespeople have actually gone to Starbucks, you know, to meet a potential prospect, to show a car, go over paperwork, and do all that stuff off-site. Is that
wherever
correct?
It's, yes.
Yeah.
We make it convenient for people.
We operate at their convenience because they're our customer.
Hey, listen, though, this brings up a good question. I would like to ask all of Autoflex Leasing fan texters, what is your preferred method of buying or leasing or obtaining your next vehicle? Is it going to be online? Do you want the face-to-face? Do you want something to happen over the phone? And then do you prefer going to the dealerships, if you were looking at different brands, to look at all the cars and test drive? Or is time important to you like everybody else seems to say it is, and you want to do everything in an hour or less? So I'd be curious to know.
Also, and we're going to have to wrap this up for this segment, but Sean, do me a favor, tell people where they can buy the book, Googleopoly. And
how to win the game of Google.
How to win the game of Google, and how much it costs.
Well, absolutely. They could go to Barnes & Noble, anywhere, Hudson Booksellers in the airport, and obviously online on Amazon. Amazon's probably the easiest way. You could also, it's also an audiobook form on Audible, and there's an ebook form. The book, again, depending if you get it online or in the store at Barnes & Noble, it's a hard copy, so I think it's like $24. You might get it cheaper online, and or you could go to the website, which is www.googleopolybook.com. So that's googleopolybook.com. And thank you all so much for having me on the show. It was an honor.
Thank you, Sean.
Hey, thank you, Sean. We'll talk to you later.
Give our love to Karen.
We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with David Blessingame, Tammy Pickard, Snuggles, and me, Sybil. Phone number 877-881-1053. Or just send us an Autoflex Leasing fan text at 43733. And as always, you can call Autoflex. What are the numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. As always, autoflex.com, where you can go online and read a lot about leasing, whether leasing should work for you or not. You can also read about our programs. You know, you can lease a new car from us. We can sell you a pre-owned car. We can lease you a pre-owned car, or as Tammy mentioned earlier, we can do a flex buy on a pre-owned car, which sort of combines the best of both worlds. And on certain cars, it's really, really a good way to go. So go to autoflex.com, reach out to us, and we will take care of you. And we'll do it in a way that most of our fan texters are texting back that they want to do business, like to do most of it online, close the deal, and sign in person only. That's one of our Autoflex Leasing fan texts.
So right now, if anybody's filled up with gas in the past couple of days, you're noticing gas prices, they're so low and they're still falling.
Well, and so in Michigan, they were 47 cents a gallon last Monday.
What?
At one gas station, a Citgo. There actually was a price war that went on.
Yeah. How is that even possible?
Well, because gas has dropped down to the lowest price it's been since 2003. In fact, it was below $28 a barrel on Saturday, which means gasoline will go down in price. But this was a result of two gas stations in Houghton, Michigan, dropping their prices against each other, trying to draw the business in. Let me tell you what it caused. It caused a traffic jam.
Oh, boy.
They had to send police out to manage the traffic. There were lines around the corner of people wanting to fill their cars up at 47 cents a gallon.
I bet. And
this really is sort of a result of us, and it's in the story I did from Automotive News. We have released Iran to sell their oil on the open market, and they announced that they were going to sell 500,000 barrels per day starting last week as soon as that sanction was released. So that's what's happened to the price of oil. By golly.
I love it, though. It's a good problem to have, if it's even a problem.
Yeah,
It is. It's a twofold problem. I mean, it's good for us as the consumer, bad for all the people that work in the oil and gas industry, because there's people losing jobs, which then affects the rest of us because then the economy struggles. So, I know. There's always an unintended consequence.
That's right.
Right.
Can we just go fill up now and be happy about it and not think about the consequences later or the next day or something?
I like that idea.
Yeah. I have this smile, but at the same time, I'm feeling empathy while I'm putting the gas. It all cancels itself out.
Yeah.
I'll just close my eyes while I do it. We'll be good.
Then you'll feel better about it.
Right, exactly.
Right. All right, couple of things real quickly. The Federal Trade Commission held a workshop this last week. This workshop was basically instigated by manufacturers of automobiles that want to deal directly with the public. They want to circumvent the franchise system. They are being led, of course, by Tesla. Tesla is the car maker out of California that wants to sell its cars directly and to the consumers. A couple of things come to the front of this when I think about it. Number one, I don't know that even Tesla has the money to set up a dealer network that they would need to sell their cars nationwide. In fact, that's why the manufacturers went to franchise systems to begin with, is because they had a lot of money building cars, but they didn't have enough money to put dealerships on every corner. So they went to independent business people. They sold them franchises, and that's how we've done it all these years. If you want to know how the franchise system works for you, if you look in Canada, the manufacturers of Mercedes-Benz, the manufacturer Mercedes-Benz owns all the Mercedes-Benz stores in Canada. If you buy a Mercedes-Benz in Canada, you will pay list price for it. That's the only price. There's no discount given. If you buy a Tesla, you will pay list price. There's no discount given. Manufacturers sell their cars to franchisees. The franchisees then have the ability to vary on what they charge for the car, and they discount those cars from MSRP. So for all those folks out there listening, thinking it would be great if the manufacturers owned all of their own stores, you will find that you will pay more for the cars, because guess what? That's what they're all in business for, is to make money.
Of course. So it looks like we're only 2 weeks away from the Super Bowl.
I know. And you know what they're getting for a 30-second ad?
What?
$5 million.
Dang.
It's million. Yes. $5 million for 30 seconds. And the car manufacturers are lining up to pay CBS. Buick's going to be there. Audi's going to be there. Mini's going to be there. It's the 50th Super Bowl this year, as everyone knows, and it's sort of a big thing. The one holdout that sort of surprised me is Ford is not going to be advertising this year at the Super Bowl. They've already made the announcement. Kia is. There's a ton of car makers. Acura, they're all going to be advertising. In fact, I would not be surprised to see Acura wheel out that new NSX, because that is an awesome-looking car from the pictures I've seen of it. So anyway, that's who's going to be there. Fiat Chrysler is not going to be there, I don't think. When asked about it, they said no comment. So they'll either be there in a big way or they won't be there at all. But at $5 million for 30 seconds, you better get your money's worth.
Yeah, so if you want a minute, I mean, is it $10 million?
No, I think they probably discount.
Okay.
And maybe $9 million.
Because yeah. Remember that one year when Chrysler had the M&M commercial and it was like 2 minutes?
Oh, yeah.
It was like a movie trailer, maybe right. 2.5 minutes even.
Yep.
I wonder how much they shelled out for that.
A bunch. But they got it right. Yeah.
More than I'll ever have.
Yeah, right?
So, and finally, to finish up, VW is now being criticized by Germany for the way they're treating their customers. And here's what's happening. If you have a VW diesel, part of the Dieselgate scandal, in the United States, you'll be treated one way and you'll be paid in one way for the inconvenience, for the lack of gas mileage, for that. If you're German, they're not giving you as much. Mm. Yeah, and so Germany, as a government, is not happy because VW is actually taking care of the Americans better than they're taking care of the Germans. Might have something to do with lawyers. I'm not sure.
Probably so.
Yeah.
Hey, I looked that up just because I was curious. The M&M commercial on Super Bowl. Do you know that is the most expensive commercial for Super Bowl ever?
Of all time?
Oh, that's cool.
Of all time. $12.4 million.
Woo!
That they paid for. There's a two-minute spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 minute spot, $12 million, 12.4. That darn economy is just going down the drain.
Thanks for doing that, Snuggles.
Yeah, that's awesome, buddy.
On the same note, another AutoFlex Leasing fan texter says, do car commercials really work? I've never said, oh, look at that commercial. I'm going to go buy that car.
Yeah, they do. And it's according to how they're done and how impressive they are, how much action they show. But trust me, they wouldn't be spending these billions of dollars that they're spending if they didn't work.
Yeah.
I think it brings a certain brand to awareness.
Yes. I can see, especially when they go viral, when everybody's talking about them the Monday after. But I'm kind of with that guy. I've never seen it and gone, oh my gosh, I'm interested now. Usually it's more of an I'm entertained now.
I don't know. I think it's kind of there and you just don't notice it. I mean, how else do you know about cars? It's either something on TV or you see it in the street driving and you're doing your own thing when you're driving. So I think a lot of times it's almost like a subliminal thing.
That's true.
Sure. And you might not be in the market at that moment, but the people who are actually in the market at that moment, which could be thousands and thousands of people at any given moment, are in the market for a car. Trust me.
Yes.
I get a lot of inquiries. So, you know, for the people that it hits, that, you know, it's just the timing.
Yeah.
So if you're one of those people out there and you're in the market for a car, you're hearing a commercial right now, give us a call at AutoFlex. We can lease you any make or model. It's great. Like Tammy said, you can get a Honda this time, a Toyota the next time, a Ford the next time, a Chevrolet the next time, and a Cadillac the next time, and deal with the same people every time. So give us a call at AutoFlex. We'll show you how it can still be easy, fast, and fun to get a great car. There you go.
What are the phone numbers?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. 888-234-1234 out of the area is always autoflex.com, where you can do everything except sign for the car, basically, right there at the website.
That's right. And that pretty much rounds out the show for today. Time flew, but we're going to be back next Saturday, so don't miss us too much. You can go to the website and follow along on the Facebook page. In the meantime, we'll see you next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Thank you to Snuggles. Thank you to Sean V. Bradley for joining us today. For David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard, I'm Sybil Summers. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right.